On this Mother's Day, I wanted to talk a bit about motherhood and family life and the obligations of parents and children to each other. Because on Mother's Day, we want all mothers to be happy and successful mothers and parents. But that can only happen if they pursue virtue, and so I wanted to describe the obligations that each member of a family has, which, if they fulfill them, will result in a happy family life for everybody in the family. First of all, children have obligations towards their parents. They are obliged to show their parents love and reverence and obedience. These three obligations come from the three aspects that parents have towards their children. They gave them their existence, and so children must love them in return. And parents are of greater dignity than their children, so the children owe them reverence. And the parents, lastly, are rulers, in a sense, of their children. They are in authority over them, so the children have to obey them. This obligation of children is grave in itself, so that a child who violates this obligation to a serious degree is guilty of mortal sin. But if the matter is light, he would only be guilty of venial sin. First of all, a child must love his parents. This has to be both an affective love and an effective love. First of all, affective love means that children have to wish the good of their parents and they have to pray for them to God. Children sin against having this type of love if they hate their parents, or if they are happy when they have sufferings, or if they are sad when their parents are having success. Children sin if they want their parents to die in order to get their parents' money as an inheritance. In fact, Pope Innocent XI condemned the idea that it was okay to desire one's parents' death, not even because it was evil for the parents, but only because it was good for oneself in order to inherit their money. Even that is a sin. Effective love means that children put their love for their parents into practice. They must show outward signs of love to their parents. They have to treat them with charity and live peaceably with them. Or if they don't live in the same house as their parents, they are obliged to visit them frequently. They have to help their parents and their needs and provide them with food or clothing or housing if this is necessary. And this obligation binds each child separately, so that if even the other children in a family fail in this obligation, each child is still bound to fulfill it and to provide for what the others are not doing. Children have to help their parents when they are sick or old or suffering misfortune as far as they possibly can. And most of all, children have to help their parents spiritually. Therefore, they have to make sure that their parents receive the sacraments when they are close to death and to have masses said for them after they die. They are also obliged to bring their parents to mass if the parents are not able to drive themselves because of old age or infirmity. Very often, children are negligent in this regard, and they just consider that their parents are too old to have to come to mass anymore, so it's fine if they just stay home and never go to mass, never make their Easter duty, or never do anything for their souls. Children who behave like this, of course, are guilty of mortal sin. It's also a sin for children to insult or abuse their parents in any way. To curse at one's parents or treat them badly, of course, is a sin. To hit one's parent is almost always mortally sinful because it is grave irreverence. There have even been certain dioceses in the church in which a person who was guilty of hitting his parents could not be forgiven by any priest in the diocese except the bishop himself. This is a measure that the church uses for sins that are so grievous that the church considers that a person who would be guilty of something so heinous really needs a higher level of expertise to help with his spiritual problems than even most priests are able to provide. And so the bishop himself would be the only person who would deal with such a terrible case. Even someone seriously cursing his parents is committing a mortal sin. In fact, it says in the Old Testament, "He who curses his father or mother, let him die the death." It was a capital crime in the law of Moses. Children also commit a mortal sin if they don't help their parents when they are in serious necessity, or if they enter religion when their parents have a serious need of their care. Even a person who has become a priest or a monk or a nun very often is obliged to leave his state and take care of his parents if they are in grave need of their care, and there is no other way the parents can be provided for, because the church considers that a person's obligations to his parents are an even greater matter than his obligation to the religious state. Incidentally, this is just one more reason why parents must always be generous with God in procreating children and not interfere in their reproductive processes. Because if they don't have enough children, it is quite likely that they themselves will be punished by God by them seeing their children not take care of them in their old age. Their children will likely send them to rest homes to be taken care of by strangers and to die in loneliness. Obviously, the more children parents have, the more likely it is that at least one or two of them will be able to devote their life to the care of the parents in their old age. And parents who are selfish with regard to having children should expect that their own children will be selfish with them, the few that they have. Children also have an obligation to show reverence to their parents. These are the simple words of the fourth commandment. It says, "Honor thy father and thy mother." The catechism defines the word honor to mean that we think well about someone. We think that they are honorable, and we consider everything that has to do with that person as being something important that we take seriously. So children are required to show honor to their parents in their words and actions. Thirdly, children are required to obey their parents. They have to carry out all their lawful commands when they are of minor age, below 18 in the United States. St. Paul says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is just." And in another place, he says that this is something actually pleasing to God. Of course, the obligation of obedience is a grave one in itself. And if parents give a serious command, then it is a mortal sin for the child to disobey. But for disobedience to be mortally sinful, the parent has to command the thing seriously, and the matter itself also has to be grave. In general, the matter is grave if the disobedience of the command causes serious harm to the family, or there is serious scandal if the child disobeys. Of course, the obedience of children to their parents stops when the child becomes an adult. But children always have the obligation to love and reverence their parents for their entire lives. Of course, children are not required to obey their parents in the choice of a state of life or even what profession they go into. But children should certainly ask their parents when they are considering whom to get married to, because reverence demands that they consult with their parents, and young people very often make serious mistakes in choosing a spouse when their parents usually will have a better idea of what will work because of their years of experience and their much greater wisdom. Next, we have to consider the obligation of parents towards their children. Parents are required to show their children love and concern for their physical and spiritual well-being. Even the animals themselves love their young and take care of them and teach them how to function. Even birds will train their young how to fly, and cats will teach their young kittens how to catch mice and things like this. But since man has a rational soul and an immortal soul, and we are destined to a supernatural end, parents are obliged to educate their children about how to save their soul. Parents never lose the obligation to love their children, although they do complete the obligation to educate their child when the child has grown up and is able to take care of himself in body and soul. So parents are required to love their children also with an effective and effective love as well, so that they have no hatred or evil will towards their children, and they wish what is good for them. And they have to take care of them in their needs. So parents commit sin if they persecute their children or hate them or make their lives miserable or curse them or reveal their hidden faults without good reason. But certainly parents sometimes have to discuss their children's faults with the priest, for example, if they are not able to correct the fault themselves. Parents also commit sin if they punish their children excessively, or what is much more common, if they love them excessively as well. Parents very often spoil their children and don't correct their vices and evil habits. And this is a disordered form of love. It's really a cruelty because it allows the child to become evil and immoral and eventually lose his soul forever. This sort of disordered love harms both the parents and the children, because the parents will be punished severely by God if they don't correct the faults of their children. A very common fault of parents is that they are warned about the misbehavior of their children by the child's teacher or a priest, and the parent responds by saying, "No, my child didn't do that. You must have misunderstood what happened." Or they excuse their children or just refuse to believe what they are told. Parents who do this are even more guilty than their children, and if they refuse to listen to the people whom God has sent to warn them about their child's behavior, God will punish them. Parents are obliged to provide for all the material necessities for their children when they are young. Even if their children grow up, if they are somehow disabled and not able to take care of themselves, then the parents are obliged to provide for them, even for their entire lives. But if children are not able to take care of themselves for some reason that is their own fault, such as if they are lazy or addicted to drugs, or they commit crimes, and so they're unable to hold a job due to some vice that they have, parents are obliged only to give them barely enough to stay alive, just the basic necessities. Or, for example, if a child squanders his inheritance, the parents should give him a little bit of food to eat, but they don't have to do anything beyond that. Parents are obliged to raise their child with an education that will allow him to have a useful career so that he can provide for himself. They have to give their child an education so that he will be able to have a job. And parents should at least try to leave a certain amount of money for their children as an inheritance. As it says in St. Paul, that children should not save up money for their parents, but parents are supposed to do that for their children. So parents who spend every last penny they have, or most of it, and waste their money so that their children get very little inheritance are committing a sin. But really the most serious obligation on parents is the spiritual education of their children. It is a very grave obligation to parents to provide a spiritual education, because the most important thing in the world is that their children save their souls, and that they learn their faith, and that they be trained in the virtues that they will need in order to get to heaven. This is why St. Paul warns parents to educate their children in the discipline and the justice of the Lord. So parents are obliged to have their children baptized as soon as possible after they're born. And then as soon as their children are able to understand anything, the parents are obliged to teach them the practice of morality and religion. They're obliged to pray with them every single day and teach them the importance and the habit of prayer. They have to teach them the virtues that are suitable for their age. And they have to teach them most of all by their example, because example is a more powerful teacher than words. The Council of Trent even says that the salvation of superiors is dependent on the salvation of their subjects. Unless the superiors have done everything in their power to teach virtue and the subjects have refused to listen. So parents commit a mortal sin if they blaspheme in front of their children, or speak impurely in their presence, or what is even worse than that, if they lead their own children into sin, if it is mortally sinful. Parents have to watch over their children's behavior and correct their behavior when they see them committing sin. And unfortunately, today especially, this is a very serious neglect that a lot of parents have. And they don't spank their children now when they misbehave. Instead, they apply fake liberal punishments, which are really not punishments at all. But what does Scripture say to us about disciplining children? It says, withhold not correction from a child, for if thou strike him with the rod, he shall not die. Thou shalt beat him with the rod and deliver his soul from hell. Pain is the fastest and the most effective way to train children to behave properly, and that is exactly why it is attacked by liberals and our liberal society today. Parents who buy into this liberal propaganda will answer for it at the judgment seat of God. But when parents correct their children, they also have to do it with prudence and love and not out of anger. So parents commit sin if they don't correct their child's bad behavior. And we see a terrifying example of this in Scripture in the person of Haley, whose sons were defrauding people who came to sacrifice in the temple. And he refused to make his children stop behaving like this and correct their behavior. And he was punished by seeing his children both be killed in battle on the same day. And as soon as he saw the dead bodies of his two sons being brought back from the battle, he himself had a heart attack and fell dead to the ground. Parents are also guilty of sin if they allow their children to be an approximate occasion of sin, such as allowing them to use the internet unsupervised, or to watch media or movies that they don't even know if they are appropriate or not. Nowadays especially, parents are obliged to send their children to good schools where the Catholic faith is taught and the students and teachers are of good morals. The Church has warned people for over a century now of the horrific dangers that come from putting one's children in godless schools. Especially here, we provide a school that is operated by consecrated religious. Parents who don't put their children in a school like that should think seriously about what they will say to God for having turned down such a precious opportunity. Especially if, God forbid, they put their children in public schools where the faith and morals of their children will be corrupted. St. John Chrysostom says that people have more care for their children's bodies than their souls. And he says that if people are given charge even over someone else's livestock, they will be very careful to protect the safety and health of even somebody else's cattle if that's their job. But he says when people look for someone to teach and form the minds of their children, they make no attempt to even learn anything about the people doing this or their virtue or their knowledge. The Church has had such a horror of putting children in public schools for the last century or two that in many dioceses before Vatican II, parents who put their children in non-Catholic schools were refused the sacraments. The reason for this was that the Church considered that they were not able to be excused from the guilt of mortal sin. And this was in the 19th and early 20th centuries when children, even in public schools, were only given books that were carefully censored and had nothing dirty or impure in them at all. And schools would even have common prayers together in the morning before school, even in public schools. Imagine what those holy bishops and popes who made laws like that would say today when children, even in the youngest grades in public schools, are taught horrors that are so obscene and perverse that I can't even speak about such things in the pulpit. Parents who place their children in schools like this will regret it one day very dearly. On Mother's Day, all mothers and all parents should remember that they are being entrusted with an immortal soul. This is the greatest responsibility that God could give them. If they raise their children in virtue, That is the surest guarantee of happiness in this world and eternal happiness in heaven. But if they fail in their duties, they are raising their children instead for an eternity of torment. Parents must be very cautious about how they raise their children and place their virtue and their immortal souls above everything else. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.